from D.C.
How y'all doing? All right. Good evening, family. My name is Arthur, and I'm a grateful Covenant addict. All right. I first like to thank CPR CNA 29 for inviting me, and especially Miss Bonnie C for personally asking me to come and do this workshop. The topic that I have is living our principles. Okay, living our principles. You know, I'm the kind of guy. You know what I mean? I like to break things down to the basics, so that I can get a better understanding, right? So, you know, I was thinking about principles, and I kind of let that resonate in my mind, principles, 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 and I thought about ethics, thought about morals, I thought about rights, wrongs, do's, don'ts, processes. I thought about tenets, procedures, the way that things are done. You know, all of these kind of things could be considered principles. You know, I knew a little bit about principles before I got here. I really did. I was raised with some principles, right? Now, I grew up in the ghetto. Yeah, I was raised in the hood, in the ghetto. So I was taught some ghetto principles. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ghetto principles said, always fight back. Don't let nobody take nothing from you. Right? And I remember, man, when I was a kid, man, I got jumped one time, right? And I came home, and I boo-hooed, man. I had two older brothers, right? And I boo-hooed, man, thinking that they was going, you know what I mean, go out and straighten that, right? And, man, they marched me down the street and made me fight both of them dudes. They said, you going to fight both of them. You know what I mean? And that's what I had to do, right? But, you know, I grew up fighting them, and they were older than me. So when I would get into conflict with my peers, I kind of would, you know, kind of can handle myself a little better. I would fare better than I would fare with my bigger brothers. I had to fight my way out of the house. You know what I'm saying? I went to a maximum security detention center for juveniles at an early age, man. I was 14 years old. Right, and they sent me down Oak Hill for being a willing participant in a robbery that resulted in a murder. And the judge said that simply because I was not the person who pulled the trigger, I was not, didn't make me less culpable. You know, I was just as much to blame as the guy who pulled the trigger, because I was a willing participant in the robbery, and they called that felony murder, right? But because I was only 14 years old at the time, you know what I'm saying, they sent me to a maximum security juvenile detention center, and I stayed there for 3 years. When I came out of there, I was 17 years old, a couple of months before my 18th birthday, right? And I really didn't have an address to come to. You know what I mean? As a matter of record, just so you kind of understand my story and where my particular principles kind of came from. You know what I mean? My mother was an addict. My father was an addict. All of their friends and associates were addicts, because that's what addicts do. Addicts don't hang out with people that ain't addicts. We all know that. Okay, so everybody in my circle as a child was addicts. You know what I'm saying? I had one great aunt. She was like the only one that had any sense in our whole family. For real. You know what I mean? And she passed away when I was like 12 or something like that, right? So, you know, when I went to that that facility, man, you know, they had some principals down there. Yeah. And they was kind of similar to the ghetto principals, you know what I'm saying? You know, always fight back. Don't let nobody take nothing from you. You know what I'm saying? Don't let them see you sweat. You know? That kind of stuff, man. You know? Show no fear. You know what I mean? And so, left out of there, man. I was 17. I ain't really had nowhere to go to, man. I ended up, man, kind of just wandering the streets of D.C., really still trying to find myself, man. You know what I'm saying? Ended up, man, going to 14th Street at nighttime. And if anybody know anything about 14th Street at nighttime in D.C., you know that's where the happiness is at. That was a strip. It might not be that much no more, because things didn't really change in D.C. for real. But back then, in the 70s, 14th Street was the strip, the track, I'm talking about from the bottom all the way to the top. You know what I'm saying? And I went down on 14th Street, actually, under the directions of a guy who was trying to teach me photography. Right? And he took pictures in the daytime, called him a street photographer. He would take your picture, put it in a little folder, and sell it to you, right, on the street, right? And he taught me that craft, man. But I would kind of got too popular. People was coming down there looking for the little kid, man. Where the kid at that take the pictures, man? And so Rick said, man, you got to find you a new turf. He said, look, this is what you do. He said, at nighttime, go up on 14th Street where the pimps and hoes be at. And all of them, they love to take pictures, right? So I went up there, right? And I started taking pictures. And the bright lights and the happenings, man, just captivated me. Took me by storm, man, you know what I'm saying? And I found myself, man, throwing the camera upside the wall. Look this, I want to be a pimp. You know what I mean? For real, man, that was happening. I got it because I got in an argument with this one guy, man, about my money for my little picture. Got to fighting and all this whole kind of stuff. And there was some guys that was like, man, we like you, youngin. We're youngin that, man. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of got to ride with a few of them and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? They'd go around, man, and girls would come over to the car and get them money. Then they'd ride to another girl. She'd come over and get them money. And I was like, wow. You know, I ain't got to struggle with these little peanuts arguing with these motherfuckers. I want a pimp. So that's, you know, I turned out, man, you know. And I had a girlfriend at the time. I had just started going to college, right? I had passed the GED test, and I was starting in college. And that's where I met her at, man. And I told her what I wanted to do. And I didn't even ask her to do it with me. I told her that that's what I wanted to do. I was tired of this picture stuff. School really didn't mean nothing to me because there wasn't the kind of principles that I was raised with. It was nobody I was around had been to no graduate school, undergraduate school. I didn't even know people that graduated from high school in the ghetto. That wasn't part of the ghetto principles, finish school. I was around a bunch of people like, fuck school. Them for suckers. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of stuff that I was taught, man. Being raised around addicts and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know what I mean? Bang, I dropped out my freshman class, man. You know what I'm saying? And started hanging out down there with them. You know what I'm saying? And they had principles with that they taught me. You know what I mean? We don't love them hoes. That was one of the main principles. We don't love them hoes. Yeah. Yeah. Keep your foot on their neck. You know what I'm saying? Demand your money. You know what I'm saying? And make sure you call all of them bitch. All of them. They don't got no first name. That's their first name. That was the principle. Right? And that's what they taught me. And that's, you know what I'm saying? So, I left my first girlfriend, right? And she came down there to find me. She came down and she said, I love you, and if you're going to do that, I'm going to do that too. And I was down there, like, messing with them other guys' girls, trying to get one of them. And here my girlfriend came, and she was nice looking. She came down there to find me. And I said, damn, I got one. I didn't even know I had one. I said, I got one already, my own. And the guy told me, said, yeah, you create your own hoe. Turn her out. You know, he told me some principles. You know, the process. You understand what I'm saying? The way we do this thing and all of that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying? So, man, that's what I did, man. Then I started getting high. Man, fuck everything up. Because, see, here's the thing about getting high, right? Getting high got its own set of principles. Huh? Disease of addiction don't give a fuck about no other principles but get me one more. Don't care nothing about no school, don't care nothing about no pimping, don't care nothing about none of that. You know what I'm saying? Don't care nothing about who you love, don't care nothing about you getting dressed up, looking nice, none of that. The disease just took over and fucked me up, man, and I was on a roll. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about my third, fourth year into that thing, man. I'm talking about, man, I was the flyest young thing smoking. You know what I'm saying? Had a fresh Cadillac. You understand? I mean, I was young. You understand? I mean, I was doing it, man. Why the fuck I started getting high? You know? I remember one time, man, right? I'm going to keep track of this time thing, man. Where my phone at? Okay, cool. Nah, well, I don't know what. Just give me a pause for 1 second. I'm going to keep my little time thing straight. Okay. I remember one time, y'all, riding down the street, just came from the base house, right? That's what we called it back then, because back then we was freebasing, right? I started freebasing in 84, right? So I just came from the freebase house, right? And riding down the street, and I had a partner of mine with me in the car, right? And we came past this one girl, right? Fine, white girl. That was like the premier thing to have for pimping, all right? I'm just being real, telling my story. That the premier thing was to have a white girl. Because she gonna get plenty of money. Because most of the tricks is white, right? And that was kind of like one of the principles too. Stay trying to get you a white girl. You know what I'm saying? So look, she flagged down my car. And the guy I was riding with, he on the passenger side, so he rolled the window down. And he said, hey, baby, you, she said, no, not you, the driver. Talking about me. Hey, y'all. I told y'all where I just came from, right? I was stuck. I'm stuck. I couldn't say nothing. And he looked at me like, you ain't gonna say nothing. I was, and she like, oh my God, she just did a motion. And she just, her face just turned sour. And she was like, ugh, and just walked away. And I knew it had happened. I had just blew the opportunity of lifetime for a young man. I said, just with this getting high shit. You know what I'm saying? And so I started trying to stop. Right? Now, this was 84. Right? Probably around 85 closer. My clean date. January 31st, 2005. That's my clean date, y'all. For 20 whole years. For 20 whole years, I was trying to stop smoking crack. Now, I say smoking crack specifically, but I know the disease of addiction does not... It's not exclusive to smoking crack, but my thing was I just wanted to stop smoking crack. Now I ain't had no intention of really stopping other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because I attributed all my pain and suffering just to that one substance, right? So initially, that's what I was trying to do, right? For 20 years, in and out of jails, in and out of institutions, you know what I'm saying? I would go up, I would go down, you know, I would abstain for a little while. You know, like stay in the house. I would come up with a girl, stay in the house, and she would bring me my money because I was in the life. As long as I stay in the house, I'm good. I'm getting banked up. And then I would go out after maybe 30 days. Not a good idea. Because when I go out, I go to the bar and I drink. And when I get drunk, the cycle starts all over again. And I end up smoking crack and end up in all the same pain all over again. And then everybody leave because everybody's disgusted with me. You understand what I'm saying? And then I find myself by myself, and then I would revert back to the principles that, you know, I had learned, you know, that sent me to that juvenile detention center, right? And I would end up going back to jail and all that kind of stuff. And it just kept repeating itself over and over again, man. I went to a federal correctional institute, man, in around maybe 2001. And I was beat up, real beat up when I went there, man. And I got out, and I went right back around where I would get high at the first day. And I got violated, and I went back to that Federal Correctional Institute after about, oh, man, I guess it couldn't have been no more than maybe 2 months, tops, that I was back on the yard. I got back so fast, they didn't even know I was gone. I mean, it was like, damn, we was in a child hole one time, and dude said, man, they're my man. They go pimping. That's what he just called me down. They go pimping, man. Look at pimping. Pimping back. I said, what? He's back? Oh, you went home? So, no, this is some shit. You went home for real? So, yeah, man. He said, man. Oh, man. So, one dude told me, he said, man, when you get out this time, because they knew I was just still on some short stuff, right? He said, you need to give yourself a chance. And he told me about the program, right? And when I got out that time, I went right back to where I used to get out and did the same damn thing. Yeah. I got out that time on January the 15th. Now, I told you my clean date was January 31st. So my last run on it was 2 weeks, man. And I never felt that bad, man. And thank God he gave me a number to call, and I called that number. And I begged them to take me into treatment. Begged them. And when I got there, how much time I got back? 2 minutes before I get to the 5 minute jump? Yeah, I'm good. I can hit this in five. I can hit it in five. Okay. Okay. That's why I got introduced to y'all in treatment, right? Okay. When I got there, they told me about a set of principles that were spiritual in nature. Now, I already knew about particular principles, you know, my ghetto principles, my jailhouse principles, my pimping principles. So, you know what I'm saying? I knew some principle stuff. But they said, no, Alpha, it's not these kind of principles. These principles are spiritual in nature. You know what I'm saying? These principles have to do with your character, right? Your spiritual development, right? Getting in touch with that. The path that God wants you to be on. Right? He said, first thing you got to do is don't use, stay with us. Right? Be honest. You threw anyway, y'all. Yeah, you really are. That's why you surrendered. That's why you begged to come into the program. So surrender, be honest. Be open-minded. Right? That's a principle. Open-mindedness is a principle. You know what I'm saying? Put aside your single-minded way of thinking, you know, and be open to receive the information and the guidance from others, right? And be willing to do what's necessary in order to change your life, right? And then I had to take a look at myself. So take a fearless and more inventory of yourself, right? Taking a look at me, I had to understand that I had never gave myself a chance to love nobody. You know, really never gave myself a chance to be loved. You know what I'm saying? Because of the misdirected principles that I had surrounded myself with in my childhood and in my adolescence and in my young adult life. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I understood, man, that I had really did myself a lot of harm, not allowing myself to love, because love is a human trait that must be nourished. And I kind of shared a lot of my four-step stuff with my sponsor, and he helped me to understand that these things were real, that you were spiritually undeveloped. And I had to change, man, because I really didn't come here to change. I just wanted to stop getting high. And y'all told me, change you must or die you will. And I knew that I had been reborn spiritually. And I understood that I would die spiritually if I didn't change, right? And so it's been all about change for me. You know what I'm saying? It's been all about change. You know, I got out of the lifestyle 2008. I just couldn't do it no more, because I found myself understanding people a whole lot. I had gained empathy, sympathy, compassion, and all of this kind of stuff. And I could no longer inflict intentional harm to the women in my life. And that is a must. I mean, you gotta do that if you're pimping. There's no getting around that. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't have a choice. I had to stop. I had to stop doing that, and I had to find a new way to live. That's what y'all was talking about. You know what I'm saying? So in 2008, man, you know what I'm saying, I embarked on my first and only ever monogamous relationship. You know what I'm saying? And it's been a real beautiful journey, right? Is the tape going now? Okay. Because I want to make sure that the tape is going on this one, because I want to say that I love her. Yeah, I love her. Yeah, I'm still with her. You know what I'm saying? I'd have been true to our relationship from the get-go. I mean, she been like the only one. I was raised to be a multiple dude. Like multiple everything, multiple relationships, multiple sources of income, you know, multiple cars, multiple residences. So I'm still a multiple guy in a lot of other areas, but in that area, I am monogamous. And that came because of the principles that I live. I do not live my life to intentionally cause harm to people as a result of this program. That's how I live today. You know what I'm saying? If I hurt you, I hurt myself as soon as I recognize it. As soon as I say something that hurts your feelings, I feel bad. I don't want to hurt nobody no more. Throw my hands up, man. Program saved my life. This is the best that I ever lived. This is the best that I ever anticipated that I could live. Right? The program truly works. That's enough out of me. I love y'all, man. Thank you very much.